Let's talk about the Last Judgment scene from Matthew's Gospel today. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Thursday, and if by this point in the week people are really getting on your nerves, you're starting to want to just pull your hair out, you're ready to scream, you're even thinking of maybe yelling at them, stop, come on now. That's not Christian behavior. That's not the way we imitate Jesus Christ. You know what I'm going to quote now? I'm going to quote from the musical Les Miserables. One of the songs has a line in it, "To love another person is to see the face of God." Do you believe that? Do you believe that when you love another person, you are ministering to Jesus Christ? Well, that's why, if you have any doubts that that's true, then you understand why I want to talk about the Last Judgment scene in Matthew chapter 25. Because in Matthew 25, it says very clearly that what we do to those who are hungry, thirsty, naked, in prison, homeless, or in a hospital, we do to Jesus. That's one of the biggest shocks of Jesus' whole message, of the good news, of the Gospels, of the reason why He came to walk this earth. Yes, He came. He came to redeem us. There's no doubt about this. He came to take away our sins. But He also came to show us and to tell us and to remind us time and time and time and time again. What we do to the least of our brothers and sisters, we do to Jesus. How shocking is that? How many people to this day still do not grasp this teaching? And you know, you dear listener, how many times have you heard this Last Judgment scene? It's always used when we're doing the cycle. You know, in the Catholic Church, the readings are done in three cycles, using the Synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then at different times during the year, as John's Gospel comes into play. But fundamentally, the year that's devoted to the Gospel of St. Matthew, okay, the last Sunday of the church year, when we celebrate the Feast of Christ the King, this is the Gospel that is used on that Sunday. It's the Gospel of the Last Judgment, when Jesus comes in His glory and He divides all the people into two, like He would divide sheep from the goats, and He says to those on the left, "You can't come into heaven because you didn't minister to me when I was needy." And He says to those on the right, "You can't come into heaven and you ministered to me because you did minister to me when I was needy." And both groups, those who did it and those who did not do it, are shocked, are surprised. They question Jesus. When? When, Lord? When did we do it or when didn't we do it? You know, time and time again, I have people come to me and they say, I have friends who are not Catholic. We got into a heated discussion over who gets to go to heaven or not. And my non-Catholic friends, some of them say to me, only the people who get to heaven are those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It has nothing to do, that's what they'll say, it has nothing to do whether you do good works or not. It has to do with whether you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And we Catholics say, talk is cheap unless we see the actions behind the words. If you say you believe in Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, I better see you feeding the hungry, giving a drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, visiting the sick in the hospital and prison, and taking care of those who have no home. If not, then all you talk about accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior is just empty rhetoric. Now, that's the one issue that I have a lot of people come to me saying that as Catholics, they're under attack, saying that we believe we earn heaven by our good deeds. And I always ask them this question when they tell me they've been in very, very heated arguments. Did the other person ever quote Matthew's last judgment scene? Matthew 25. Did they ever quote that? And I don't have anybody say they quoted that. They'll quote St. Paul all the time, unless you profess with your lips and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, right? And I have no trouble with that quote. But they want to believe that grace alone saves and our actions don't make any difference. Well, even St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, we will all be held accountable at the judgment for the things we did or did not do. Now, another issue is God's universal salvific will. Okay, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, it says, God wills that we all come to knowledge of the truth. He wants us to be saved, right? Now, another heated discussion, and maybe you've been a part of these heated discussions, is this thing about people who never heard, through no fault of their own, they never heard about Jesus Christ and never had the Gospels explained to them, therefore they never had a chance to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Do they have any chance of getting to heaven? Well, there's a whole group of Christians who say no. They say it's a mysterious will of God that these people are predestined never to be in heaven. We don't teach that as Catholics. We don't. We believe that each person will be judged on the knowledge that they were able to have, a proper understanding of the knowledge, and the practicing of the knowledge. We believe at the fundamental, most fundamental level of our existence is the human law, called natural law. And we believe that natural law is woven into every person who ever walked the face of the earth by God. And a very simple principle of natural law is do good and avoid evil. Do good and avoid evil. That's written into the DNA of every person ever walks the face of the earth. God writes it there. Now, can that be developed? Yeah, it can be developed with depending on what religion you follow and the teachings of the religion. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it gets developed more and more as you study the Old Testament and see how it's completed in Jesus Christ, but taken to a much further depth. We believe that people who, through no fault of their own, never had a chance to meet Jesus, accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, they still have a chance to go to heaven, depending on how they do live. Their natural laws that tell them that it's absolutely wrong to do evil to innocent people. They know that in their heart. Whether they kill their conscience, maybe. And then it'll be judged, just like lots of people call themselves followers of Jesus Christ. They kill their consciences. So I want to encourage you today, if you get into discussions about religion, and that's very, very risky to do that, because then people start throwing quotations all over the place on the scriptures, and even the devil can quote an isolated scripture passage. But really know your own faith before you get into a discussion, especially the discussion on how we are saved and what happens to people who, through no fault of their own, never have a chance to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior because he was never brought to their attention. I think there is great consolation for us to believe that those people still have a chance to go to heaven and that they're not condemned for all eternity for something they didn't know. Okay. Who do I want you to pray for today? Well, I want you to pray for state legislators. These are the people who make the rules for the individual states. These are the people who work long hours, have heavy debates, are having constant input through letters, phone calls. Well, it's not enough to be a legislator. You have to be a Christian legislator if that's your particular Christian way of expressing your relationship with God. You have to enact laws that are just, even if some of these laws are not popular. Because it's not supposed to be a popularity contest. It's supposed to be doing the right thing for the benefit of the people. And although we've done a lot, not I personally or you, but a lot of damage has been done to the whole moral and spiritual and religious fabric of our country by people who say that was basically an atheistic country, I don't accept that, then you have to be careful that you don't get caught up in discussion with them, because their premise, the very first thing that they'll base the discussion on, is not the same as yours. They will base it on that there is a loving God involved in our lives who has written guidelines for the way we should live. And the guidelines will not be different than what we hear in Scripture, but it will be an application of those guidelines in the times we live. Please pray for state legislators. So they don't give in to peer pressure. They don't look the other way because they want to get a special perk from somebody. That they do the right thing, especially if they call themselves Christian men and women, that they follow Jesus Christ. Today's food for thought goes like this. We take for granted the things we should be giving thanks for. Right? We take for granted the things we should be giving thanks for, you know. And I'm always pushing Thanksgiving. We have to be very grateful people. We should not take each other for granted. Not today's small attempt at humor. Get ready. It's a religious question. Do you know what was the name of the prophet Isaiah's horse? Well, let me tell you if you don't know. The name was Izmi. Now you're going to say, how do I know that? Well, it's very obvious because Isaiah said, woe is me. Bad, I know, bad. But cute, nonetheless. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me know you listen to the program. You can even comment upon my bad jokes if you like. Or you can send me your prayer intentions. You just let me know you're listening. You can tell me when I receive my newsletter or not. It comes out 6 times a year. There's no charge for it. It's free. Tells you where I'm preaching in case you want to maybe see me in person, or if I'm preaching to your relatives and friends, you can tell them about it. You can certainly help me keep my hospital open. I have this hospital in Oaxaca, Mexico, for the very, very poor, and I'm always in need of funds to keep it going. You can make a check out to TASH, T.S. and Thomas, Inc., send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And if you do that, believe me, God will bless you. By the way, if you do the internet, visit my website at Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. I think you'll enjoy visiting my website. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee.